7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back again, and this week we are recapping. Nope, not recapping. We are talking week 17 in the NFL season. You know what, Tim? I thought we were recapping because I thought you were going to be with us for the recap episode of week 16, but you weren't.
You know what? I wasn't. Originally told you guys I wouldn't be here this week. It is my wife's birthday, and then I thought that I would be able to make it in time. Unfortunately, kids and wives, they come first. I love you guys very much, but family first, bro. So went out, did a little bowling, ate some Mexican food, and now I'm here trying not to shit my pants before this episode is over.
Sounds like a good night, Tim. And I agree. I would totally pick my dog over you any day of the week. if it was her third birthday coming up, I would definitely rather spend time with her than you.
All right. Well, we are talking week 17 in the NFL. And
final week of the season.
Exactly. There Regular could be season. Some coaching changes possibly after this week. Some teams could be praying for that. Some teams or some fans of teams could be really hoping that doesn't happen. So it's going to be very, very interesting on how this week 17 goes. A lot of things can still happen for the playoffs. We talked about that a little bit the episode previous, but we will still touch on it.
I do want to say, listening to that previous episode, you know, I'm not here, so Tom decides to give the Bears D a little bit of credit. That's the only time I think I've heard that out of Tom's mouth. And I was surprised you didn't rail into them a little bit more about Chuck Pagano or Hugh Jackson being their coach.
I love the Bears D.
Loves.
Interesting. Very interesting. Serious question. Next year, 2018, who has a better season, Colts or the Bears?
If Andrew Luck plays the Colts.
Okay.
Again, you guys can always follow us on Twitter, at PonyKeg Sports, at PonyKeg Tom, at Fight Talk Tim.
That's me.
Like and
yeah, a while ago, a couple weeks.
And it was always, and Joey made a good joke about the jersey. We do have a Le'Veon Bell signed jersey.
We are
going to give it away. It is here. It is not fake. We will be giving this jersey away.
We showed
away.
It on a live broadcast.
Yeah,
so if you schmucks open your eyes, you would have seen it on the live broadcast.
Again, yeah, if you guys have not been doing that, check out the live broadcast. Make sure you do yourselves a favor. Go on there and watch it. As we are, you know, talking a little bit of football. So, let's go ahead and jump into it. First game of the week. Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions.
Freaking, the Lions, they had their chance to make the playoffs. Last week, they had a pretty easy game, in my opinion, against the Bengals. A team that looked like they gave up, and they dropped the ball. They're getting another team that has given up. I think they're going to find a way to win this game and just annoy their fans more and get a worse draft pick. The Lions win 24-7.
Doesn't matter at this point. Both of these teams are in a terrible spot, yep. Is my opinion, going into the 2018 draft. Too good to add an extremely valuable asset unless they luck out. And, I do believe, though, Lions, again, at home against a bad Packers team, Lions are going to find a way and win this game 30-17, which is the same score that happened on November 6th.
Speaking of the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, have you guys seen the news where they have replaced Aaron Rodgers on IR and teams are demanding that the Packers have to cut Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, it's dumb. They're saying he never technically got injured again, and they put him on IR without an injury.
Which is true.
Which, well,
fact. A lot of teams do that, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's fact.
Yeah, but there are teams out there that are stating that the Packers should have to cut him from their team.
Listen, this is where the NFL gets very fantasy football-ish, right? People are always trying to gain the upper hand. A-hole 1 and A-hole 2, a.k.a. Tom and Josh of your fantasy football league, are always trying to get the upper hand, do sneaky little moves, sneaky trades, do this, oh, I'll throw this guy in later down the road, make this move, make that move. At the end of the day, A-Aaron was brought off of IR. His collarbone was fused. Everything was good to go. The bone was healed. What injury did he go back down with?
To me, it looked like he got hurt again.
How? With what?
His shoulder.
With what? What was wrong with it?
He wasn't throwing. What was wrong with it? He did not have that rocket launcher attached to his
shoulder. What was the injury? There was no injury ever that was relevant.
So is he going to get cut, Tim?
No, he's not going to get cut.
So that's you're
not
wrong.
The point. I'm not saying. I've never said that he was going to be cut. My point is, this is where the NFL needs to figure their shit out. The same way your fantasy football league needs to figure their shit out. The NHL is the best out of any organization trying to stop the nonsensical moves within their league. How this isn't even being looked at after the way that numerous teams, I just think of the Patriots first, I'm sure it's Robert Kraft getting on his horse right away and saying, hey, you make sure to stick to us every chance you get. How aren't the Packers at least being penalized for this? They might be penalized.
Yeah,
I will say that they will probably be penalized for this nonsense.
Yeah, they'll definitely get some sort of penalty for that. Agreed with you. Next up, Houston at the Colts, a game that we will be attending, Tom.
Yeah, two-thirds of our little panel right here will be going. Tim was invited but decided not to.
To be fair, I was never invited. You guys talked about it a bunch. No one ever invited me. To be fair, I would have said no, and you guys knew this.
Exactly.
So I understand. No hard feelings. And also, it's going to be a horseshit game.
It might not. It's two really bad defenses, so there should be a good amount of points being scored. I could see this game being like 28 to 27, which would probably be pretty interesting. Get to see a couple backup quarterbacks. Get to see T.Y. Hilton do a little dance and score a couple touchdowns. Colts win big and still get the third overall pick in the 2018 draft.
An overtime thriller. Colts 3, Texans 0. Enjoy the game, douchebags.
That would be a terrible score. That would be a terrible
I think
time.
The better bet will be, do either of you guys go to jail?
No.
The wives will be there, probably not.
Spencer won't be there.
Yeah. Next up, we have the Bears at the Vikings.
The Vikings still have something to play for. If they lose this game and the New Orleans Saints win, they could become the number 3 seed, I believe, in the NFC. So the Vikings are going to go out. They're going to try, and they're going to end the putrid season for John Fox, the Chicago Bears. And John Fox will be the first head coach fired in the NFL.
Tom, I hope you're right. I really, truly hope. Now, the only thing about this game is you have a high of -2 scheduled right now. For Sunday in Minnesota, it's going to be cold. Isn't their new stadium outdoors? Or no. Can they close it? Can they close it all the way?
It's a dome.
Oh, well, then NFL.com, you can eat a wiener because it says high of -2, low of -16.
Now you're sounding like the 8-bit bros saying, oh, chance of bad wind in Indianapolis. Right. Yeah, there's a dome.
A 3-mile-an-hour wind in Indianapolis.
I don't know if they can close that stadium all the way.
You want to bet? Slap bet?
I'm not going to slap at you, but I'm going to look it up. You guys talk, and we're going to figure it out.
You pick your team.
I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears are going to disappoint me. I want them to lose. I wanted them to lose in Cleveland last week. Mitchell Trubisky is going to come out.
You don't believe what you're saying.
300-plus. Two tutties.
You're lying.
Xavier Rhodes is going to fall over, have a stroke. Oh, Lord Jesus, there's a fire. Boom, Mitchell Trubisky. Tutty. Dontro Inman.
Bet me a dollar.
$1 bet.
All right.
Boom.
Deal.
Oh, my God. All right. Go find if Minnesota can close their stadium all the way. Next up, we have the Jets at the Patriots.
Patriots, I believe they've locked up the number one overall seed in the AFC and home field advantage. They're still going to go out and try to win this football game. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, they're going to get it done. They're going to run the football a lot and win 20-7.
I'm going to go with the New England Patriots as well. The Jets are just not good. Petty is not a very good quarterback. They have Hackenberg on that team too, but they haven't thrown him out there yet because he is nowhere near ready. Bilal Powell ran for over 130 yards last week. I believe, what, 145?
Somewhere around there.
Is he an actual running back you can rely on if you're the Jets? I don't think the answer is on that team right now. I think they're going to go out and draft a running back. The Jets have a lot of needs, and quarterback and running back are two of the biggest ones. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the Jets do in the offseason, but they will definitely not be winning this game, and that is what they're thinking about is the offseason right now.
So going back real quick, the Viking Stadium is indoor, I believe. There's a lot of glass there that makes it seem outdoor. What I was thinking, my apologies. When the Minnesota Twins built their new stadium, I was shocked that it wasn't all indoor. They built an outdoor stadium, which made no sense to me.
Target Field.
Exactly. So, no, you are absolutely correct. U.S. Bank Stadium is an indoor stadium. I don't know why NFL.com even lists the temperature. In terms of
the 8-bit bros are in charge of it.
In terms of the Patriots and the Jets, not even close. Patriots just dominate. And like you said, Jets, I've heard a lot of rumors saying that they're going to go secondary again, just improve that defense in the offseason even more so, which I would love.
Next up, we have the Washington Redskins at the New York Giants.
This game really doesn't mean anything. Possibility, it could be Kirk Cousins' last game for the New York Giants, or for the Washington Redskins. The Giants right now, it's a total mess. You got Landon Collins, who's just put on IR, calling out Eli Apple, calling him a cancer. That defense, that's what led them last year to that playoff run, what made this team near elite, and to some people, Super Bowl contenders. They're just not there right now. The Redskins are going to get a victory on the road. Big-time final game for Kirk Cousins.
The Giants are saying, why, oh, why did we treat Tom Coughlin the way that we did? Because this would never happen under his watch. It's just a joke. It's an absolute joke. I hate what the Giants team is right now, and I hate the Redskins. Biggest disappointment in my season. To be the Raiders might be close, but extremely disappointing. I honestly hope that the game is close to being over, and Kirk Cousins on like a third and long just turns around and throws the ball out of the stadium and just says "fuck you, Washington," gives the birds, and walks off the field and out of the stadium into the sunset.
And then what will happen is the Redskins will tag him for a third time.
No. Oh, and he'll say, "Okay, pay me $30+ million a year."
That's exactly
please.
What's gonna happen.
I hope they do for it. You think he is gonna care?
No.
You think
he cares? Doesn't care at he doesn't this care. Point in time.
No way. Redskins are going to be I think the Redskins are going to be extremely focused on the defensive side of the football going into this offseason. They're going to sign a bunch of guys. They're going to draft a bunch of guys on the defensive side of the ball, and they're going to be looking to get one of those back end quarterbacks to replace one Kirk Cousins.
Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's another game. It's a rivalry game. Doesn't mean much. Dallas has been eliminated from the playoffs. The Eagles have locked up the number one seed. I could see them resting some guys, and I could see Dallas trying. This could be their Super Bowl, trying to ruin the Eagles at the end of their season a little bit and get that tough victory in Philadelphia. I'm going to go Dallas in this game. I think they're going to it's tough to run the football against Philly, especially in Philadelphia. The Cowboys are going to get it done. Zeke Elliott has that big game I was talking about last week.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, you know, with how the Cowboys have been banged up throughout the year, obviously not the season that they wanted. Do they care enough to make this their Super Bowl that you alluded to, Tom? Do they care enough? If I'm the Eagles, do they even have anything to play for at this point?
I believe they have number one seed.
They're locked in regardless. If I'm them, I do not play Nick Foles one play.
Nope.
Not even one. Because if he goes down, anything in the playoffs is just done and over with.
Who's after Foles?
I honestly have no idea.
Someone not good.
I'm pretty sure it's Tony Danza. There was a movie where Tony Danza played for the Eagles. I have no idea. I think this game's going to be a bit of a shit show, in all honesty. I think the Cowboys are going to kind of be licking their wounds now being eliminated. The Eagles are just prepping for the offseason. I would expect a lot of like LeGarrette Blount up the middle and Ezekiel Elliott up the middle. I think it'll be a close game, like a 21-17 type game.
Matt McGloin is the third string quarterback.
He's not good.
Let him play. Get your reps in, kid.
Yeah, there is talk about Sidney Jones getting activated this week as well.
One guy, you, I know I was extremely high on him. But we all liked him. Yeah, I mean,
that, he had a first round grade from all of us.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge addition. Forgot that he was even drafted by them.
I'm gonna go with the Eagles, regardless. I don't care who's playing quarterback. I think the Eagles are just that good, regardless if they need to win this game or not. Next up, we have the Cleveland Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, the Le'Veon Bell jersey that we are giving away by the Pittsburgh Steelers, presented from Pristine Auctions.
I'm a little bit disappointed. I'll be honest. I wish we would have waited and we would have gotten a signed James Harrison New England Patriots jersey to give away. I don't think that there's a bigger fuck you than James Harrison going to the New England Patriots. I honestly don't think there is. I think this is the new highest point of pissed off F you. I've been the franchise. I've been the face of your franchise on the defensive side of the football for how many years? I went to the Bengals, a division rival. We got for a year. We got past that. I came here. You cut me mid-season. After everything I've done for you, after all I have, there were all those videos of him pushing the sled with, I don't even know, it was like over 1,000 pounds. I don't know if you saw the video. Him drive this, what he, that attitude that he's going to bring to the Patriots side of the ball, just absurd. I don't know how, if you are the Steelers, you did not see this coming. It's not like James Harrison's ever seemed like a reasonable human being. Steelers have to be livid. Right now, I can only imagine that AFC championship game that's going to happen. I look forward to it. In terms of this game, does it really matter? Does it really matter to anyone?
Nope.
And not at all. So, pretty boring. Fantasy's over. No one cares.
Who's going to win?
I guess the Steelers. Well, they still have Le'Veon Bell. I'm sure he's going to do enough early, first, second quarter to get it down.
I'd be surprised they even give him the football. They've used him quite a bit this season. He's leading the NFL in touches right now, so I could see them giving James Conner, Fitzgerald Toussaint a little bit of a look.
James Conner out?
Yeah, he's on IR.
Okay.
They signed Stephen Ridley, right?
Yeah, there you go. So let's hope. Come on, Kaiser, baby. This is a team Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is a team division rival.
In Pittsburgh. That could be a big one for them.
That'd be great.
I'm still going Pittsburgh.
Come on, Browns. You guys are in Indy. I'm going to Pittsburgh. I'm going to this game.
Hope you're wearing your Deshaun Kaiser jersey. He's your boy.
Next up, we have the Panthers at the Falcons. And this starts the slate of games for the afternoon games. Kind of a lot of them here, so...
This game actually means something. Carolina still has a chance to win the NFC South and get a home playoff game, which is a big deal. I got the Panthers winning this football game. Last week, they kind of dropped the ball. Didn't look very good against a struggling Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. They're going to be firing on all cylinders this week to get that victory. And we're going to see a lot of Christian McCaffrey lining up in the slot and playing receiver for this Carolina Panthers team.
Do the Falcons have any shot making the playoffs?
Yes. If they win, they're in.
So.
This game means something. This might be the game of the week.
I know that the Panthers only gave up 17 points to the Falcons when they met early last month. But I just can't see. I heard you talking about Sarkisian and all that in the show that I wasn't here for. I can't see the Falcons not being in the playoffs. I can't see it. Matt Ryan is too good. Matt Ryan has control of this team. I know that they're only 9-6, but give me Matt Ryan, and I believe wild card weekend against the Saints, potentially, or no, the Saints a bye team now. Regardless, I have the Falcons winning this game, getting themselves into the playoffs, and then you will have three NFC South teams in the playoffs. Yep.
This is a tough game. Like you said, if Atlanta wins, they're in. If Atlanta loses... and Seattle loses, they're still in. So
I've heard a lot of people... I'm sorry, Josh, to cut you off. I've heard a lot of people out there saying that they would rather see the Seahawks team in the playoffs than the Falcons. Why? What is a... It's a defense that is nothing at this point, combined with an offensive line that has been trashed from week one.
Yeah, the offensive line is garbage. The The running game for Seattle is garbage.
It's
the
literally
the defense
Russell Wilson and nothing else.
Yeah,
that's where Tom's going with it. It's more fun to see. It's more fun to watch for the average viewer, for the average casual fan just watching the game of football. You would rather see somebody running around making a play rather than seeing quote-unquote fundamental football running straight up the hole or running straight up the middle of the line, and that's it. That's just what some of the mentality for the random casual fan for when football's in the playoffs. Think about hockey playoffs. Think about baseball playoffs. What draws big crowds? Crazy stuff that happens. What's crazier than anything else? Seahawks making it to the playoff round with Russell Wilson running around because he's got no lead blockers. That's what I think of.
I just don't see it. So, yeah, if the Falcons win and the Saints lose – I'm sorry. If the Saints lose and the Rams win, and obviously with a Falcon win, then the Falcons and Saints will play each other again for a third time here in like 5 weeks or something like that. I don't care. I will call it right now. If the Seahawks make the playoffs, they will get crushed by any team that they play. Not even close. Not a fun game. I get that you're saying it's fun because you're hoping Russell Wilson's going to take it over. He's a proven winner, but I get all that crap. It's still not. The Seahawks get destroyed. Eagles, Vikings, Falcons, Panthers, Rams, Saints are the six playoff teams right now. The Seahawks get destroyed by any of those teams in a playoff scenario.
I'm not arguing with that.
So what's fun about it?
No, I'm just saying that the casual...
Well, the casual fan's fucking dumb.
You've been overrating the Falcons all season, and that's your Super Bowl team. You're hoping makes it, so you could predict that. And it's not the same Falcons team as last year. They're not that good. That offense isn't that good, and that defense has struggled most of the
year. I am not saying that they're the same team. Their defense did not make the big step that I was hoping that they would off of what they built last year. They actually regressed. I will be the first one to admit that. But at the end of the day, the Falcons 9-6 and the Seahawks 9-6. You're telling me that that there is any point where you think the Seahawks were superior? No way.
They got a better quarterback, though.
No.
And I'd rather watch him play than Matt Ryan. If you put Russell Wilson on the Falcons, they're an 11-win team right now. You put Matt Ryan on the Seahawks, they're a 5-win team. That's what I'm saying.
Next up, we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos.
Broncos most likely be playing Paxton Lynch. I could see the Kansas City Chiefs maybe resting some starters. I think they're going to get up in this game and get that upset. Or not that upset, but that road victory in Denver.
Well, I'm curious here because the Chargers, I don't know who owns, I don't know if either you can pull up the tiebreak between the Chiefs and the Chargers. I don't know what their...
Chiefs have clinched the...
Okay, they did. So that must mean they beat the Chargers twice.
Yeah.
I know they beat them bad on, was it Thanksgiving or Christmas? Or it was a Saturday game 2 weeks ago they beat them bad. So they're in, regardless of who's playing. The Chiefs win. The Broncos are bad. They're a bad football team right now. Like you said, I expect Paxton Lynch and probably your guys' boy, Devontae Booker, getting a lot of run in that game.
Next up, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to not call them Saxonville anymore.
Why?
Because they let down my brother in his fantasy championship game versus the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Tim, technically the Chiefs could overtake the Jaguars and get the 3 seed.
Okay.
That's why the Chiefs will probably be playing all their starters. Same with Jacksonville. They will be going for a victory in this game. If they get that 11th win, they will have the 3 seed and won't have to go to New England if they get through their wild card weekend. So the Jaguars, they're going to be trying in this game. Their starters are going to be playing, and the Titans, they're struggling right now. They've lost, two or three in a row right now. Marcus Mariota is not the same quarterback. He's kind of regressed. It seems like he's taken a few steps back. DeMarco Murray, he's possibly going to be out with an LCL injury. So nothing's pointing in the right direction for the Titans right now. And the Jags are coming off one of their worst performances of the year. That defense, they're coming to play this week. Leonard Fournette, they're going to play that smash mouth football and show the Titans what exotic smash mouth offense is all about.
Well, and beyond that, if you are the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, listen, there's if you don't beat the Titans, there's a chance that you could be playing this same team next week in the first round of the playoffs. Yep. Right now, the Jaguars are the 3, and the Titans are the 6. So if the Chiefs lose, Jaguars lose, and the Titans win, and you know we could do it again. And if I've learned anything, we'll go back to the Chicago Bears years back, letting the Packers go in, losing them in the NFC Championship game. You never want to let a team get into the playoffs that can potentially beat you. So Jacksonville is thinking, hey, let's beat them. Let's keep our 3 seed. We'll take on either the Bills or the Chargers, whoever comes in as the new 6 seed, and we will destroy them.
San Francisco 49ers at the L.A. Rams.
The Rams have openly said they will be benching majority of their starters. I know Andrew Whitworth will be out. I believe Jared Goff is out. Todd Gurley. They won't be trying this game. The Niners are one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Garoppolo is hot. This is a road game for the Niners, but they are staying in California. They don't have to travel all the way across the East Coast. Their fans are probably one of the happiest groups of fans in the NFL, so they will probably be traveling to L.A. in droves. This might be an actual home game for the Niners. They get a big-time victory, and what's that, 5 in a row for them? Impressive.
Next year, this is the creme de la creme in the NFC West. You will have a Seahawks team that is depleted and rebuilding, and with Jimmy G, who is either going to be franchise tagged or re-signed, whatever it be, Jimmy G versus Jared Goff is going to be the big thing in the NFL.
Kyle Shanahan versus Sean McVay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited. I would not be surprised if you see a Sunday Night Football Week 1 Jimmy G versus Jared Goff. Don't be surprised to see that. Or Monday Night Football. You know how they have the two Monday Night Football games? Late night Monday Night Football? Boom. There's your game. Love it. I agree with everything you guys said. Listen, the Rams know who they are. They know that they're prepping for something bigger than this game. But the 49ers are going to go out there, put a stamp on this season, say, hey, that's fine. All is good and well. Be ready for next year, sir, because I'm coming for you. Jimmy G blows up again. And, Niners, after starting, 0-10, finish the season 6-10.
Yeah, I like San Francisco in this matchup. Even the fact that they're benching everybody. I mean, that's the big thing regardless. But I think just the way Jimmy G and the whole 49ers team, their defense, their special teams, everybody on that team right now, receiving core, they're all playing very well. The fact that they have slot wide receivers all over the field, I'm a little worried with that. And George Kittle is pretty much their main target as a wide receiver besides Kyle Juszczyk. But
Marquise
still.
Marquise is good.
Well, yeah, but he's more of a slot wide receiver. And same thing with Trent Taylor. And they're all slot guys.
People have said over and over this year, and said, the Bears are going to be the Rams of last year with Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears. No. With what the 49ers have done, the 49ers have the opportunity to be the Rams of last year. They add a couple of pieces here with who they added on the defensive side of the ball last year. If they have a good draft, they are a playoff team in 2018.
You know what's funny is our good buddy Spencer said kind of something that you just said. Well, it's like you guys are kind of the same person.
Well, sometimes it seems like you guys share the same brain.
Yeah, but I don't have diabetes. I can't grow a beard. I have 2 kids. I'm not alone. I'm dying by myself.
When the initial spreads came out for this game for the Rams and 49ers, what do you guys think it was?
Rams minus 4. 14 and a half.
4 and a half. Minus 4 and a half.
I was close.
Yeah. Not bad. Next up, we have the Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins.
Well, Bills still have a chance at the playoffs, so this is a must-win game for them. But they're the Buffalo Bills. They're not meant to make the playoffs. They're going to make the Bills Mafia cry once again and end another average season. Football purgatory continues. Miami Dolphins and Jay Cunney get the victory.
Bills Mafia will riot.
I think that the Bills are going to do enough here. Their defense is very good. You have to think, if you're a Bills fan, you just have to go back to that Nathan Peterman experiment there for a while and think, like, that game alone, I mean, what could have been, right?
That's why the Chargers have a tiebreaker over there.
Yep, yeah. Well, what could have been? I think the Bills are going to win. Don't think it's going to be enough to put them into the playoffs. I think either the Titans or the Chargers will win. But I like the Bills to win this game. The Dolphins are trash. They're just awful. Jay Cutler will do the Jay Cutler thing and shit the game away.
Next up, Oakland Raiders at the LA Chargers.
Chargers, they need to make the playoffs and get this victory. They're going to do that, and they're going to be one of the scarier teams in the AFC.
Yeah, this is Chargers should be a playoff team. They have had 2 to 3 games this year that they should have won, whether it be due to kickers or whatever it may be. The Chargers are a playoff team. They will win this game. Titans will lose their game, and the Chargers will be the sixth seed in the AFC.
Yeah, an absolute must-win game for Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. They need to win it. They need to beat Oakland. I got to go with the Chargers as well. Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm going to take this one first, Tom. The Seahawks should roll this game. They should run away with it. But this game right here will solidify the Seahawks' future for the next 2 to 3 years. The Seahawks are done. They have no offensive line. Their defense is injured and salary cap cancer at this point. They're going to have to cut everybody. They're going to have to restart. This goes back to a year ago when all of us were talking about how the Seahawks are for sure taking an offensive lineman in the first round, and they go and continually address the defensive side of the ball. The Seahawks have set themselves up for failure. They should win this game, but they haven't been able to win at home this year, which is a rarity. The Seahawks lose a heartbreaker to the Cardinals and show the Seattle faithful how bad this team's going to be over the next 2 to 3 years.
I really like where your head's at, Tim. I could totally see that happening, but I have to give the edge to dangerous Russell Wilson.
Russell?
He's been phenomenal. I love watching the dude, and I just cannot pick the Cardinals to win with a backup quarterback going into Seattle.
Yeah, as much as Seattle has struggled this year, as much as they have issues on defense, the offensive line, everything else that you can think of, I cannot go with Drew Stanton and the Cardinals to go into Seattle and beat them. Same thing.
The Seahawks just don't, like, the Seahawks literally have nothing. They have nothing besides Russell Wilson.
And that's they have 9 victories right now.
Yeah, I'm not denying that.
Yeah, I just can't do it.
Division rival.
Next up, Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is our last game.
Nope.
Second to last.
Okay.
Good, because I'm tired of this shit.
No, I was just thinking, why do you always save the Bucks for last? There'll be a noon game, and it'll save them after the Monday night game. You know, it doesn't make sense, but that's our host, Joshua Forrest. Saints are going to win this game. They still got a chance to move up in the playoff picture. They're going to be able to run the football. The Bucks don't have anything for New Orleans.
Not even close. Dirk Cutter gets the axe after this game. Famous Jameis has everyone wondering, hey, is he really that good? Who knows? Apparently, crab legs are finger-licking good. Nevertheless, the Saints roll. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram dominate this game.
Dirk Cutter will get fired, Tim, and they will start the rumors of one Gruden taking over for the Tampa Bay Bucks. It'll be
pretty awesome.
Interesting couple months after Cutter's basically fired, and they kind of go from there, so Tampa Bay does not have a chance in this game. As much as I want them to, New Orleans is going to roll. They, again, still have something to fight for with the playoffs. So, last game of the season, Bengals at the Ravens.
Ravens, they've already locked a playoff spot. They're going to win this game and get the better version of the wild card. And they're playing good defense right now. I like what they're able to do running the football. Joe Flacco is getting better little by little. He's not special right now, but this is a better team than what their record is showing right now.
I honestly think that the Ravens are sitting there right now and saying, I don't see that they locked up their playoff spot. NFL.com has them not having it locked up just yet. I don't know if they have a tiebreak over both the Chargers and the Bills. Nevertheless, they're looking at playing the Chiefs here in the first round right now, and they must be licking their chops. That's a great game. That's a great divisional round matchup right there. I am personally looking forward to that. In terms of this, listen, the Bengals are trash. But this is, I feel like all Bengals players know that this is like the swan song for Marvin Lewis. This is a get up for, get one for the Gipper here, right? Give your coach a good send off. I think it's going to be much, much closer. I think the Bengals actually win, in all honesty. The Bengals find a way to go out there and, you know, give a meaningless win to make a 7-win season off of a disgustingly gross, 2017 outing.
Question for you guys, now that we have kind of predicted the rest of the regular season of the NFL, there are a couple of games on New Year's Day for college. I don't know if you guys have looked at any of them. I didn't even really think about bringing this up, but looking at this here, there are a couple of them, and
you're gonna get me started on this.
I know, right? So there is the Peach Bowl. That's game number one, UCF versus Auburn, number 10 rank versus number 7. Auburn's 10-3. UCF is 12-0, 9.5-point underdog originally. So that is a decent game right there. I think Auburn's gonna run away with it, but it's gonna be very interesting to see where a UCF team who did go undefeated in the regular season, how they stack up against the upper echelon of the collegiate teams.
I love a good underdog story. I love it. And there is nothing more. I am a Georgia fan, so I hate Auburn probably more than both of you combined. With that being said, Auburn is a very good football team. Auburn has the defense and the quarterback and the running back combo to next year, if everyone sticks around, to probably contend for a title. So I'd look for Auburn to be in the playoff picture come next year. But this year, Auburn, it's not even close. Auburn rolls UCF.
Yeah, I really hope Kerryon Johnson plays. Last I heard, he was still kind of dinged up with the shoulder. I hope he gets like 3 rushes, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, and just sits the rest of the game. But we just get to see how good he really is. Big fan of that.
That
kid
would be a feat.
That would be.
That would be a feat. He wouldn't be coming back. I don't think if that's what
nope.
He did. 3 carries.
Citrus Bowl, you have your Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Nope.
Versus the LSU Tigers.
I am extremely intrigued with this matchup.
I don't even want to talk about
Is Arden Key playing? I would love to.
I don't think so.
I would love to see a matchup with Arden Key.
Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah.
That's exactly...
That would solidify exactly where I have each of those guys in my pecking order.
100%. But I like watching Notre Dame. They always phenomenal offensive line play. Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey, both guys that should be going in the first round. Josh Adams, a good running back. Maybe be outside the top 10, but that's because this whole running back class is deep. This should be a good game. I'm pretty excited about this.
Notre Dame hasn't gotten up for a big bowl game since the year I was born. It's the last year that they won a national championship, 1988. Constantly disappointing. Last big one like this I can think of is when they played Ohio State, which was Ezekiel Elliott's last year at Ohio State. Zeke ran all over them. So a game Jalen Smith blew out his knee in 8 different ways. It just scares me, especially, I mean, if Arden Smith plays, Notre Dame, they have everything there. And it seems like it's always the case. But their quarterback play seems to constantly let them down. No matter how good their line is, no matter how good their defense is, no matter how good their running game is. So LSU is going to keep it close. I'm going to pick the Fighting Irish because I'd be a dickhead if I didn't.
Next game, we have the Rose Bowl, and that is Georgia 12-1 versus the Oklahoma Sooners.
I'm going to take this one first. I said that Oklahoma was the only team that could beat Alabama in the college football playoffs. I've said that over and over. And Georgia is built like a less impressive version of Alabama. Fantastic defense, amazing running game. But at the end of the day, when it comes to a shootout, who's going to win? I just don't know if Georgia's going to be able to hang with Oklahoma. If Oklahoma's able to put points on the board, and it's a big if, what's Georgia going to do? Georgia has shown numerous times, you know, in that game with Auburn this year, that if teams put up points, they can't really stick with him. You have a true freshman quarterback in Fromm. I don't really know. I'm going to be cheering for Georgia. I hope they go out there and they shellack. They beat the living daylights out of Oklahoma. I just don't know if that's going to happen. I have it being a close one. Georgia is able to keep Oklahoma in check a bit and ends up winning the game 21-17. Baker Mayfield disappoints.
There's some awesome game changers in this game. Tons of probably four or five guys that could probably go in the first round in the NFL draft and a bunch of other guys. But this game is just stacked with pro potential. But I got to go team with the best quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Like what they're doing on the offensive side of the football. And excited to see Mark Andrews, see what he can do against those fantastic linebackers that Georgia has, and see how they're planning on defending him. Not many teams have been able to do anything to him all year.
Oklahoma, of course, is ranked number 2. Georgia is number 3. Moving on to the number 4 ranked team, Alabama, taking on the number 1 ranked team, Clemson.
I just want to say, I threw it out there before, I mock all Ohio State fans, everyone else who say, oh, hey, why is Alabama getting in there? But you think the college football people were going to let a third year in a row go by where Alabama and Clemson didn't play each other? You're talking about the two teams that played in the national championship game the following 2 years. They were going to make this game happen? Get the hell out of here. You are out of your mind. To go back on my own word, I said that Oklahoma was the only team that could beat Alabama in the college football playoff. Clemson's playing like a team who might be able to be there. Their only loss is a game where their quarterback got hurt, which Josh likes to tell me about all the time. It's going to be a barn burner, in my opinion. Alabama's defense is going to have to step up and have themselves a big game in order to win this. It's going to be very, very close. It's going to be a 31-30 type game. I'll take Clemson.
Clemson has the best defensive line, probably the deepest defensive line in college football. They have three guys most likely coming out this year who could all be drafted in the first round. They are going to win this game in the trenches on the defensive side of the football. It'll be 20-17 Clemson, a little less high scoring than people are thinking.
I like Clemson in this matchup. I like the quarterback, Bryant. I think he's very, very talented. It's funny, a person in my work actually was talking about the other person or the other player they just signed for Clemson. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But he is supposed to be incoming freshman, 6'6", like 235 pounds, just a monster. Has got a super strong arm, so I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with Clemson in their quarterback position next year, if they're going to stick with Bryant, if they're going to go with the new kid coming in. But Bryant right now is looking very, very good. So I like Clemson against Alabama. I'm going to go with Clemson. So I got Clemson versus Oklahoma.
Same.
You have the same.
I have Clemson, Georgia.
Okay, who do we have winning it all?
I have Georgia. I think Georgia's too good right now. Their defense, they've learned from that Auburn game that, hey, teams can game plan to beat us. Kirby Smart is a defensive mind first and foremost. You have to remember Kirby Smart was a defensive coordinator for Alabama. He's been in these big games. He's the difference maker here. Kirby Smart is going to make his claim, on the college football world. Doing this with a true freshman quarterback, that's very impressive. Not to mention, I'm sorry, they had the number one recruiting class of 2018 as well.
I don't know if any team right now could stop Baker Mayfield in that Sooner offense. I think they got everything to get the job done this year, and they're going to do it.
I like Clemson if it's against Oklahoma, and I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan. I'm a big Oklahoma fan. But that defense is something else. So, anything else?
Nope.
All right, guys, that's all we have for you. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode talking about Week 17 in the NFL season and talking a little bit about college football at the end there. Again, as always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at PonyKick Sports, at PonyKick Tom, at Fight Talk Tim. And you guys can always email us, PonyKickSports@gmail.com. Again, we have the jersey giveaway going on for the signed autograph jersey of Le'Veon Bell, given to us and presented by PristineAuction.com. Again, you guys can go to PristineAuction.com and get all the stuff that you want to bet on. Bid on and do all that kind of stuff and get some really cool stuff. So, again, PristineAuction.com. Go there. check them out and get some of your collectibles and get in your man cave. So until next time, we'll see you.